open to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This morning I'd like to bring a message on the making of a good father. The making of a good father. This message may not be a new message, but nonetheless it's a true message. Father's Day means a lot to me. The Lord gave me a good earthly father. The Lord gave me a good father-in-law. Amen. Now that's a blessing. You have a father and mother, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law that are saved, love you, and believe what you're doing and support you. You know it means a lot. Amen. Some of you may have a good mother and father, but mother-in-law and father-in-law may be a different tune if you were to sing it. The Lord gave me a good spiritual father. Old banana tree, you know him? Alligator, junkyard dog, whatever he's been referred to. Well, Father's Day means a lot to me. Maybe it doesn't mean too much to some of you. Maybe you never had a good father. Maybe you never had the privilege of having a dad that loved you. And whether you call him father, daddy, diddy, or whatever you may refer to him as, he holds a special place in your heart that nobody else can ever take. And you know, I thought about that. The Lord has given me three boys. And when they grow up, I want to hold a special place in their heart that nobody else can hold. When I was in Dayton, Kentucky, we went to Cincinnati, Ohio, and preached on the street. Boy, we had a blast. I mean, we had a ball, man. Way out, far out. Good time. I preached so long, I couldn't hardly preach at church that night. I just completely lost my voice. But I just couldn't. You know, that pulpit down there was just tremendous. I just couldn't turn down the opportunity to preach to such a congregation as had assembled there to hear me speak that day. But there was one old man, 95 years old. He came, I stopped, gave him a tract, said he was an agnostic. He said God was a bigot, that I was a bigot. He went on talking about the Lord and how narrow-minded and unfair God was. If there was a God, why did he let all these things happen? And I tried to talk to him a little bit. And finally, I just put my arm around him and I said, "No, old man," I said, "I don't mean to be disrespectful to you. But I said, look at me. I said, there's going to come a day when you're going to wish you never said what you just said. I said, there's going to come a day when you wish you'd never said God was a bigot. You'd never spoken of God in the way you did. I said, there's going to come a day when you wish you would have bowed your knee to him and trusted him as your Savior. When he did, he looked down to the ground and he said, young man, he said, you might be right. 95 years old. You know, when he walked away, I began to cry. And I said, God, I'm thankful that there may be a lot of things in this life that I may never have. But Lord, I don't want to end up like that man right there. I don't want to come to the end of life bitter, mean, angry, and mad. I don't want to come to a man in years that should be full of wisdom and full of the fear of God and the knowledge of God, and yet come to the end of my life and end up like he did. May God help us to seek not to be like him. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin to read in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife sees that she reverenced her husband. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the day. Father, we're thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we have a heavenly Father that is the greatest example of what we should seek to be that we've ever had to look to. And Father, we pray that in this hour, the Holy Spirit of God would meet with us in a real way. Lord, we need Thee. We need Thy presence in this service today. For Lord, I realize that everything I can do and every word that I can utter, every attempt that I could make would be completely in vain unless Your Holy Spirit takes it and quickens it and uses it today. Father, I pray that You would hide me today behind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that these people looking up would see no man save Jesus only. Lord, may the Word of God be lifted up. And Lord, may as the Word of God is preached, may our hearts be open and receive it the way that it should be. God, speak to hearts today. God, I pray that You would bless everyone that's here. And Lord, if there's one here that's lost and never been saved, Lord, may today be their day of salvation. And Father, minister to those that are saved. Minister to those that are Yours. Minister to those that belong to Thee. Feed us, God. We need help. We need strength. We need courage. And we need, Lord, comforting. We need blessing. And God, some of us need a rebuke. And may we get it today from the Word of God. May we receive it and take it into our heart and apply it and do something about it. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. It has been proven that marriage is healthy. Statistics show that a married man outlives, or a married person outlives, a single person. So if you're looking for a long life and slow death, then the thing to do is get married. Now, one fellow disagrees. He said it is not a longer life. It just seems to be that way. But you know, when I think about fathers and when I think about the home, I think about one of the foundations of any country. The home, I believe, beyond anything, maybe outside of the church, is the supreme factor in the salvation or ruination of any country that we live in. Destroy a country. They have two main objectives, and that is the three: the church, the home, and the educational system that's in that country. If they can destroy the home and the framework in the home, then they have destroyed one of the foundations that makes America a free, great country that it has been for years. The trouble with American people is they can't see that. They can't see that the devil is out to do all he can to destroy your home and to ruin it, so it is not a happy place to live. Now this morning, when I finish with this message, some of you may think I'm a little bit old-fashioned, and you are going to be absolutely right. Amen? Some of you may think I'm a little narrow-minded. Well, I've got news for you. I am narrow-minded. You may think I'm a little bit opinionated, and when I get finished, you'll be right. I have an opinion based on the Word of God that is as opinionated as anybody could ever get. Disagree, agree, like it or lump it, believe it or not, it is based upon the book that you're looking at. I have no authority on how to be a good husband or how to be a good father, but I know the book that is the authority on it. I have no authority on how to do it in the best way, but I know a book that is the authority on how to be a good husband and a good father. I have a desire in my heart to be a good husband and a good father. I don't want to walk through this life and when I get done, have my wife and children curse the day that I ever came into their life. I don't want to walk through this life and leave it and my children grow up and spit on my grave and be glad for the day when I'm dead and be glad for the day when I'm gone. I want to be a husband. I want to be a father that lives for God, exalts God, and makes an impression on my home that God is the thing that they cannot live without. Listen, too many husbands and fathers in America are seeking to move in the wrong way. Instead of being a husband and a father, they're merely a meal ticket to provide and put food on the table. There's more to being a good husband, and there's more to being a good father than merely supplying and putting the food on the table and paying the bills and putting clothes on the back. The Word of God tells us what we need to do and what makes up a good father. Maybe some of you today are not fathers. Maybe you're husbands. Maybe you desire the day when you will be. Maybe some of you young men are looking forward to the day when you'll be a husband and a father. And I beg that you pay attention not to my words, but to the words of the living God, and see what goes to make up a good father. Now, you women can listen, and if do nothing else, you can amen and shout. Because the men may not be amening or shouting very long. The first thing I'd say about the making of a good father is, number one, he is a leader. He is the leader. Somebody said the father is the head of the home, the mother is the heart of the home, and the children are the hope of the home. There is nothing that is more evident and clearer in the Word of God than that the father is to be the leader in the home. Now, you may not agree with that. That may be because you're henpecked and your feet would fit real good on a roost. Amen? That may be because your toes curl underneath for hanging on the roost that you've been pecking on for so long. You may not like it and you may not agree with it, but the Bible said that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The home must have a leader, and the leader of a Bible home is the father and the husband in that home. Now listen, ERA and Women's Lib have done more damage in the last 20 years than any two movements we've seen. These are supposed to be new schools of thoughts in the permissive free society that we live in. And I'll tell you what they are in my words. They're two doctrines straight out of the pit of hell. That's what they are. The ERA and the Women's Libs are as unbiblical, as unscriptural as any two movements that we have ever seen. And the devil has done all he can to motivate people, to support them, to destroy the foundation of the home, the authority of the Word of God, and to mess up American homes today. The leader in the home is the man. The leader in the home is the husband and the father. If you are not the leader of your home, if you are not the head of your house, pray that God would give you the courage to become the head of your house. You know, a lot of them little sissies, little boys bragging to one boy. He said, my daddy can whip your daddy. You know, that's always the brag. You know, that's always the boast. My daddy can whip your. He figured he'd come back, and he said, so what? So can my mother, you know. And a lot of homes that I've seen, the same could be true. Amen. You know, a guy introduced his wife one time. He said, I always said I'd be the head of the house and know the reason why. And he said, here she comes. Amen. And a lot of men are like that, and it's sad. The Bible says that the man is to be the head of the house. Listen, no home can stand and be established and last unless it is built according to the Word of God. You say, that's old-fashioned. Those ideas went out a long time ago. Yes, I know when those ideas went out, when divorce rates went up in America, when homes fell to ruin, when children were left to shift for themselves. I know when those theologies went out. I know when those philosophies went out. The same time that America began to speed on to hell so fast that you couldn't keep up with the destruction and damnation in America. What's wrong with American people is they find out something that'll work and something that's good, and they don't have enough brains to stay with it and hold on to it and keep it, and they always want to find something new. You know what it is? It's the theory of evolution applied to living. They figure if it's new, it's better. Listen to me. Most of the time, if it's new, it's probably not as good as what came out before. Amen? Brother, I tell you, them cars, you lift up the hood on one of them. You just begin to pray. Amen? I mean, you don't know nothing under there. Smog and fog control and buttons and tweezers and pushers and things going and one thing and another. Well, I tell you, every now and then, I lift up the hood on my van and I look at it. I love the simplicity of that motor. Amen? It has one fan in it. Now, you know what? That's an oddity. Amen? I mean, you couldn't lift up another one and see, well, they say, we got to change it. It's new. It's better. I doubt that there's very many things like that. When we come in the new age we live in, you've got to have new ideas. You must be open-minded. Trouble so many people, their mind has been open that it's just like a sewer. Amen? The trouble with most people is their mind has been open so long that they've let all kinds of trash fill it. But the leader in the home must be the husband. He must be the father that's ahead. The Bible said a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. You know what something with two heads is? It's a monster. That's deep, amen. Write it down. You'll pick that up later. I know it's kind of deep for some of you. Something with two heads is a monster. And a home that tries to have two heads will end up in a mess. Now listen, like it, believe it, or love it. Show me a home where the woman is the leader, and I'll show you a home that's a mess. Show me a home where the mother is the leader and the wife is the one who sets the example and sets the way. And listen, it may take 5, it may take 10, it may take 15 years, but sooner or later, those chickens will come home to roost and you'll pay the price for not doing what God told you to do. Now, the man is to be the leader. Oh, I can see him now. You men are getting bolder already. Yes, sir, bud. I'm going to tell that woman where to get in. Amen. Go home and boss her around all day long. I mean, I'm going to be the... No, that's not it. You think you will, and you may go home, shoot your mouth off, and she may be gone the next day or two. Being the head, you've got to look what the Bible says, as Christ is the head of the church. Not mean, not a bully, not a tyrant. Amen. As Christ is the head of the church. You know what? This puts all the responsibility on the Father. Now I'm going to speak for you women. And if you don't believe it, you listen and pray about it, and you'll believe it sooner or later. A real woman wants a real man. Amen? I've met some women that didn't, but they wasn't real. You could see right through them. Amen? You're afraid to look at them in the morning when they got up. I mean, you never know what to do. A real woman wants a real man. I don't think a real woman that loves God and knows anything about the Word of God wants a sissy for a husband. I think what they want is a real man. They want a man who is a leader, an example, somebody that they are willing to follow. Now listen, are you the leader in your home? Quiet, amen, quiet. I told you I want a few amens. What kind of a leader are you? What kind of an example are you? I find in the book of Joshua, Joshua comes to the end of his life, and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brother, Mrs. Joshua never opened her mouth. She knew better, amen? You said you never read much about Mrs. Joshua. No, she was glad for the position God had put her in. She had a man. She had an example. A man who loved God, feared God, walked for God, submitted himself to God, worshiped God. And she never opened her mouth. And I can hear her back in the corner there, maybe quietly says, amen, amen, amen. Tell him, Mr. Joshua, that's exactly how I feel. Amen. Some of you women didn't do it. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Your husband stand up and say that. No, we'll see. I mean, who told you you could say that without consulting me? I think it's all right to consult your wife. I think it's all right to sit down and talk to her. Let her know exactly what you plan to do. Amen? Don't keep her in the dark. Amen. Somebody asked me in Ohio, I preached a message on the home. They said, doesn't your wife have any rights? I said, yes, you got all the rights that any woman in a biblical home has. She has the right to ask me any questions she wants. She has a right to do anything I tell her she can do. You say, I wouldn't live like that. I'm glad I didn't marry you, honey. You say, I wouldn't be in a home like that. That's why God never put me and you together. You say, I couldn't stay with you for 5 seconds. I might not make it with you for 3, baby. Listen, God said that the man would be the leader in the home. That he himself as the husband and the father would be the leader. Listen, sometimes that's good to flaunt. But sometimes it's a burden to bear. You know, my wife, she's pretty sharp, I'll tell you that. I don't say that very often. But she is. You know, come up and do a decision, you know what she'll say? She don't know what to do. Well, you're the head of the house. You get that gas? Man, I got it, you know. Well, I say, well, what do you think we ought to do? Well, honey, I leave all the decisions up to you. And see, it's not just the thing where, oh yeah, I'm the boss, I'm the head, I'm the big cheese here, I'm the main man. You better realize that, but I tell you what, you'll give an account to God for making the decisions you make. You'll give an account to God for the responsibility that is given, we put upon your shoulders, and you'll answer God for it. You know, one time, four young people had died in a car accident. The father went out to where the accident was, smelt liquor, whiskey. When he smelled it, he was enraged. I mean, he was just mad. He said, when I find out the person who gave whiskey to these children and killed my daughter, he said, I'm going to kill this. Every one of them was minors. No reason why they should have had whiskey. He went home that night nervous and all upset. Went to the kitchen, opened a cupboard to get a bottle of whiskey that he kept there for times when he was nervous, and the bottle of whiskey was gone. There was a little note that said, Dad, we thought we would borrow your bottle. Since tonight was the prom night, and such a special occasion, we didn't think you would mind. Love your daughter. He killed her! He killed her! Why? Leadership. Leadership. Example. And listen, there's a breakdown in American homes of the leadership that is in those homes. Don't you men point the finger at your wife for a lot of the trouble in your house. Point it at your own heart and get on your knees and beg out to God for mercy. Leader. He is to be the leader in that home. And not only that, he's to be the laborer in the home. The Bible said that these things give in charge that they may be blameless, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God's book says that the husband is to be the laborer, the provider for the home. Now I know there's circumstances come up where it may not be. Maybe the husband gets flat on his back, gets sick. Maybe the wife would have to take a job. I'm not as hard as some of you think. Maybe harder, I don't know. But I'm not as mean as some of you might think. There's times when a wife may have to work. Men have came to me down here and said, what do you think about your wife, my wife working while I'm going through school? Well, I talk to them one thing and another, and I tell them the truth. Sometimes if the wife can work, you have no children, she's able to bring in a little money. Sometimes it may help out. I mean, there's circumstances, there's situations where it could be, or a man gets sick and unable, or he needs some help, or even while he's going to Bible school, that she might be able to help him financially in some way. And let me tell you, the Word says that the man is to be the laborer and the provider in his home. I'm going to tell you, some of these young punks that go around and get girls pregnant and then go off and leave them, they're scum. That's all they are. Some of them that go around and want a night of sin and pleasure and live to fulfill the lust of the flesh and will not accept their responsibility, they're a bomb, the offscouring of the earth. Let me tell you, some of the men that get married and get a family and one day just walk off from them because they can't take any more, I have no respect for them whatsoever. I'd rather live with some dogs I've known than some of the men that I've known. I'd rather fellowship with some of the animals that I've seen than fellowship with some of the men that act like animals in this earth today. Listen, if you're going to get married, you're taking on a responsibility as a husband, and if God gives you children as a father, don't shirk it, don't back off from it. Be a man, stand tall for God. Provide, be the laborer, be the one that's there. You're getting ready to get married, you better think about what you're doing. You're getting ready to marry somebody, you better remember the vows that you're going to repeat. You're getting ready to get married to somebody, you better remember that you promised before God to provide for the one that you're marrying. She didn't promise to provide for you. She promised to help you and take care of you, love and obey and honor you. You promised to provide, to take care of her. A man doesn't, he's a scoundrel. If you're one of them, then I'm sorry what your name happened to be. That'd be a scoundrel. You don't like it, do something about it, and I'll change my attitude towards you. The Bible said he's to be a laborer. He's to provide for the home, materially and spiritually. Now, materially, you're to provide a home, clothes, food, money, education. I believe a man is to provide those things. Some of you don't have much of a home that you can provide for them, but you've got a place to stay. Some of you that are husbands and fathers, you'd like to have a lot nicer home than what you do have for your wife. But you can't. But you provide it. You provided some food, clothes. You've tried to give them some money. Trying to provide an education and materially taken for them, taking care of them. But I find there's one thing where a lot of fathers miss the boat in materially providing for their family. And that's when it comes to time. Time. Some of us have no money. We've got a lot more time than we ever thought about money. And you know what? You can provide time. When I was growing up, the Lord was good to me and gave me a good father who provided a lot of time for me. Took me fishing. I learned how to fish. He taught me how. Learned how to hunt. He taught me how to. And you know, I don't think I was ever so thankful until I was about 15 years old. When a young boy, he used to hang around my house a lot, told me, he said, Jim, he said, you know what? He said, you are really lucky. And I said, what do you mean? He said, boy, I said, you got a good dad. He said, your dad comes to watch you fishing. Dad take you hunting. He said, you know what? My father never did come. This boy ran track. I mean, he won blue ribbons. He played baseball. Was a good ball player. He said, you know, and he began to cry. He said, I'd cut off my right arm if I could just get my dad to pay a little attention to me. If I could just get my dad to spend a little bit of time. But I tell you, I don't want my boys growing up. And you say, I'm busy. Weep on my shoulder, will you? You say, I've got a lot to do. Cry me a song, will you, man? You say, you just don't know how much I've got to do. Weep me the blues, will you? I don't want my boys ever growing up saying that their daddy never spent any time with them. Daddy never took them fishing. Daddy never took them hunting. Daddy never did anything with them. What shall you give to one small boy? A glamorous game, a tinseled toy, a Barlow knife, a puzzle pack, a train that runs on a curving track, a picture book, a real-life pet? No, there's plenty of time for such things yet. Give him a day for his very own. Just one small boy and his dad alone. A walk in the woods, a romp in the park, a fishing trip from dawn to dark. Give the best gift to that bright lad, the companionship of his dear dad. Games are outgrown and toys decay, but he'll never forget if you give him a day. How about your wife? You a good husband? You a good father? Do you provide? Patrick Henry, you know, the great man who stood and said, give me liberty or give me death, was no doubt a Christian man. When he read his will, or his will was read to the people that were left behind, Patrick Henry, in the final closing words of his will, said, I have disposed of all my property to my family. He said, there's one more thing I wish that I could give him, and that is the Christian religion. He said, if I could but give them the Christian religion, and not one shilling, they would be rich. But whole world, and not give them Jesus Christ, they would be poor. Let me tell you, dads, not only physically are you to labor and provide, but spiritually, you're to labor and provide for your family. Now, you listen to what I'm going to say, and you believe every word of it, whether you agree with it or not. It is the truth as much as anything you ever heard. There is homes in Pensacola right here where we're living that you couldn't touch for $200,000, and the furnishings in that house would cost you another $50,000 or $60,000. The children each have a car of their own, are going to go to a college and never hit a lick, and they're going to be paid all the way. Gimme, 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 gimme. Listen, they're going to grow up, and right now, they're some of the most miserable people on the face of this earth. You know why? Because as a dad, you're not just a meal ticket. You're a father. You're an example. You're a husband. You're a leader. Listen, if you neglect the spiritual guidance and laboring to provide it in your home, you have neglected the most important job as a husband and a father that you've got. Some of you can't give materially what you'd like to give, but I'll tell you how you can make up for it. Give it spiritually to them. Feed them with the Word of God. Show them a God. Show them a dad that lives for God and loves God and worships God. Show them a dad that prays and reads the Bible. Show them a dad that goes to church. Show them a dad that's not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Show them a father who will labor to provide a spiritual home for them. Father is to be a laborer. You a laborer? You provide? Last of all, a father is to be a lover. A lover. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Somebody said that the home, to have a good home, could be wrapped up in six words. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. When you think about that, boy, that's deep right there. I mean, you get those six words in your home, really, you'd have you a good home, you know? Amen? The husband is to love. Now listen, God commanded the husband, husband, love your wife. He said, you're to love your wife as you do your own body. Now God commanded the woman to submit. Why? Because he knew that'd be the hardest thing she'd have to do, was to submit. And he commanded the husband to love his wife. Now you know why? Because I'll tell you why. The hardest thing that some of us hardheads have to do as husbands and fathers is to show our love for our wife and children. Now listen to what I'm saying. You think about it. Boy, I've spent a lot of time thinking. I've spent a lot of time praying about it. The hardest thing that some of us men have to do is to show and tell our love for our wife and her children. Women don't have any problem telling you that. If you've got a wife that loves you, she's telling you that all the time. I mean, mine gets me embarrassed. You know, I love you. Happy Father's Day, and I love you, and all this. You know, here are the kids. We love you. We love you. And I said, yeah, okay, all right, fine. You know, leave me alone. I'll see you later, you know. She asked me the other day, do I still love her? And I said, look here. I told you 13 years ago I did. I said, what'd I do? Keep repeating myself or something? I mean, you don't believe me when I tell you something? I mean, I put it on you 13 years ago. Most of us, when it comes to words, we just had it. I mean, most of us men, we just don't know how to do it. A wife came home one day to her husband from the beauty shop and said, well, I got back from the beauty salon. He looked up and said, what's the matter? Was it closed? And that's about how most of ours comes out, amen? A man was talking to a man the other day and he said, you know, my wife was at the beauty salon 4 hours the other day. The guy said, 4 hours? I said, man, some must have really... He said, no, that was just for estimates. Most of us men, when we try to say something, that's how it comes out. I mean, the wife says, will you love me when I'm old and wrinkled? And you say, yes, I do. I mean, when we try to say it, it just didn't come out that way. I tell you, we're just, the Bible said we're to give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Dwell with her according to knowledge. And we do that, you have to realize. Now, I'll tell you something. Men and women are different. Okay, you get that? I got that wrote down so I wouldn't forget it. Amen? They're different. No amount of ERA, no amount of women's lib, no amount of the devil and what he can do is ever going to change that whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest problems, and yet one of the most important elements of being a good husband and a good father is being a good lover. You're to love your wife. You need to tell them you love them. You need to show them that you love them. You just don't love in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. Show them. Show them. As Christ loved the church. I tell you, I pick up this book, and it's a love story to me. I can't find one book out of 66 where somewhere or another the love of God isn't told or indicated that God loved man one way or the other. You think about that. Boy, I thought about that one day. 66 books. And God's love is told or indicated in some way in every book. You know what God told us? He loved us. And if we're to love our wives as Christ loved us, you know what we ought to do? We need to tell them. Amid the cares of married life, in spite of toil and business strife, if you value your sweet wife, tell her so. Prove to her you don't forget the bond to which your seal is set. She's of life's sweetest sweet, the sweetest yet, tell her so. When days are dark and deeply blue, she has her troubles, same as you. Show her that your love is true. Tell her so. Never let her heart grow cold. Richer beauties will unfold. She is worth her weight in gold. Tell her so. Some of you husbands, you ought to be telling them so. Some of you husbands, God has given you a jewel. If you don't believe it, look around at some of the junk. You don't believe you got a diamond, look around at some of the cheap imitations. And you'll see what you have got. The husband is to love his wife, and he's to love his children. Love his children. You know, every now and then I just have to get my boys. I'm so busy pushing them and kicking them, telling them and smacking them and punching them. But you know, every now and then you just have to get a hold of them, put your arms around them, and say, I love you. You know, every now and then you just kind of sit back and it'll come on you. I'm a father. I mean, that thing just hits you right in the face. You know what I mean? I mean, you're just going along in life. I mean, I got three boys. I mean, I got a family. I got somebody I got to provide. You know, you just look and say, well, do I really tell them? Do I really love them? The Bible says if you love them, you chasten them, you discipline them. Part of loving a child is disciplining a child. An unloved child is a child who is never disciplined. Listen, children, if you got a mother and father that discipline you, that means you got a mother and father that love you. And you may not see it now, but you get a little bit older, you'll realize how much they did love you. If they didn't love you, they'd just let you grow up and do whatever you wanted. Be just like an animal, let you do whatever you want. But the fact that they discipline you and whip you and talk to you and get hard with you is the fact that they love you. But we need to tell them that we love them. Dr. Potter, a man who was a preacher one time, told of a young man who stood in jail to be convicted of the crime of forgery. The judge that was sentencing knew his father. His father was a brilliant lawyer, a brilliant legal man. And as this young man was getting ready to be sentenced by the judge looked at this young man and he said, young man, he said, don't you remember your father? Said, don't you remember what a great legal man he was, and here you are getting ready to get convicted of forgery, and you've disgraced his name? And the young man looked up and he said, yeah, I remember my father. I remember every time I wanted to talk to him, he was always reading some book. He was always studying some law. And he'd look up at me and say, son, I don't have time for you now. Run along. He said, every time I needed some companionship and somebody just to know that they loved me and was concerned about me, he said, I always had a dad. He said, son, not now. I don't have time for you. He looked at the judge and he said, I remember him. I remember my father very well. I don't want my children to remember me, that an old father died, and when he died, all the children are gathered together, break up, give the furniture and things that they had. They gave and decided he was going to take the car and the house, and came to an old chair, and it was Daddy's chair. The two oldest boys, who were not Christians, looked at the chair, and it just happened there was the last piece of furniture left in the room. And the one boy walked over and touched that chair and said, you remember this chair? One boy said, how could I forget it? He said, we've laid across it many a time. He said, yeah, that's true. He said, Dad whipped us. He said, you know what I remember? He said, I remember seeing Dad's head down in his hands
And I remember him there praying and asking God to save us. And asking God to take care of us. The one boy looked at his brother and he said, "You know what? He said, our dad we thought was kind of mean, but he said, you know what? He just really loved us. He just really loved us." And he said, "Yes, he did." And he said, "You know, he always told us about Jesus and how he would save us. And he said, we never listened to him. Now he's dead and gone." One boy said, "Yes, he's dead and gone, but," said, "I'll never forget how much you love me." The one looked at the other and said, "You know, this Jesus that he told about must have been something wonderful to make him the kind of dad that he was." And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Why don't we just go ahead right now and trust him and receive him as our Savior?" You know what they did? They took turns. One of them knelt in daddy's chair and prayed and asked the Lord to forgive him, asked the Lord to save him. He got up and the other one knelt in the same chair. When they got done receiving the Lord, they rejoiced, stayed in the room and cried. He said, "Daddy may be gone," he said, "we'll never forget him because he loved us so much." The making of a good father. Let's bow our heads. The making of a good father. Three simple words. He's the leader. He's the laborer. And he's the lover in that home. How about you, husband? How about you, father? Are you that kind of a man? How about it? You know, they said, "Well, what do we give fathers on Father's Day? We give the mothers flowers, or we just usually give the fathers a hard time." We need some good fathers today. I want to be a good father. I want to be a Bible father. Some of you wives, you've got kind of a break this morning. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You wives that are here, you've got a man that meets these qualifications, you better pray and thank God for him. There's many a woman that got up this morning that her husband wasn't home. He'd laid out drunk all weekend. There's women in this town that got up this morning. The husband wasn't there. They didn't know where the husband was. They didn't know maybe he's laying out with somebody else, what he was doing. Some of you have got some good husbands. Quit running him down. Quit belittling him. He's got sins. He's got mistakes. I'll tell you what you better do. You better pray for him. He's saved and he loves God and he loves you and he provides and tries to lead. You better just get on your knees every night and say, "God, he's not perfect. He's got sin. But Lord, he's a good man. Lord, he loves you. He loves me. He loves the children. And God, he's trying to provide. He's trying to lead." I tell you what, you better thank the Lord for it. You wives had better be thankful. You better stand behind your husband. You better pray for him. You better support him. God could have given you something else. God could have given you a drunkard. You could have got a no good. Some of you got husbands that if you'd have got some other men, they'd have ran off and left you a long time ago. You couldn't have trusted them. You wouldn't know what they was doing. You wouldn't know where they was at. Some of you got some good men. You don't have to worry about him. He can go anywhere. He can be anywhere. He can do anything. You don't have to worry about him. Thank God for him. God give us some more husbands. God give us some more fathers that are like that. God give us a desire to be good husbands and fathers. Husbands, fathers, let me tell you something. You can't be a good father or a good husband on your own. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way any of us could be good at all without him. May God help us to see it today. Father, bless the words of this message. Lord, I know it's not new. I know people have said it before. Lord, I believe it's true. I believe every word of it's true. And God, help these husbands and these fathers. And Lord, these young men who are contemplating marriage and thinking about the day when they get married. May they seek to be the leader, the laborer, and the lover in their home. May they seek to have and to be a husband and a father the way you want them to be. Bless the words of this message today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What number? 388, hymnals. The Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to come. The devil's out to destroy homes. The devil's out to destroy Christian homes. We need some men. We need some men, not just preachers and that, but we need some men in the homes who will take a stand. We need some more Mr. Joshuas. We need some more Jobs who will pray for their children. And like Job, who will offer a sacrifice in case his children have sinned in their heart. We need some more men like Abraham, who God said, I know him. I know him. He'll command his household after me. I know him. I know him. And I know what to do. God, help us to be husbands. God, help us to be fathers. In this way. 388. The Lord spoke to your heart and wants you to come. We sing on the first verse. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I'm now going to ask the wives to come forward today. Wives, while you're there, your head's bowed and the eyes closed, you've got a good husband. I want you right now. Thank the Lord for him. I tell you, wife, when I look around and see some of the men that are in this world today that call themselves men, and I see some of the husbands that you've got, you ought to be thankful for. Or you ought to be rejoicing. I know it's not always easy. I know you don't always live on the mountain. I know it's not always that way. But take time every now and then to let it be that way. He loves you. Provides for you. He labors. He works. He tries to lead and show you the right way. And he loves you. He may not be able to tell it. Most of us men are so dumb when it comes to words and saying things like that. We don't know how. But you look at them, you know they love you. Stand beside you. They praise you in the gates. Talk about you. Some of you men need to come. Maybe there's somebody here today that's lost. You're a husband or you're a father. You'll never be the husband, you'll never be the father that you ought to be until you get saved and know Jesus. Oh, you can be a husband, and you can be a father without being saved, but you'll never be a real good one. You'll never be the one that you ought to be. God give us good husbands and good fathers. God help us to establish our home the way God wants them to be. It's not always easy to do. May, by God's grace, he enable us to do it. I'm going to sing one more verse. The Lord has spoken to your heart as a husband, a father. And you come and kneel and pray. I want you to come. Talk it over with the Lord. Sing together on the third verse. If you're lost, come. You need to pray. Come. Right now. Come on. You need to come. Come on. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Your home can be a little bit of heaven on this earth, or it can be a little bit of hell on this earth. Most of the time, our homes are exactly what we make them. We can blame circumstance, we can point to it, but we can't blame surroundings. Adam and Eve had pretty good surroundings to live in. Their circumstances were pretty good, yet it didn't ensure them of a happy home. May God enable us to live, to be good husbands and good fathers. We're going to close the service in just a minute with a word of prayer. Some of you wives, some of you children that are here today, you've got a good husband, you've got a good father, I want you to go to him after the service. Put your arms around him. Say, Daddy, I love you. Honey, I love you. And I want to do what I can to help you be a better husband, a better father. Lord, we thank you today for our Heavenly Father. Oh, you're so good. You're so kind. You're so sympathetic. And yet, Lord, you are firm. You're steadfast. We desire to be a father like you. We desire to be the head of our home as Christ is the head of the church. And Lord, we just can't do it by ourselves. The flesh, you know, the spirit, Lord, it's willing, but that old flesh is just so weak. Help us, enable us, be with everyone that came and knelt at this altar today. God, grant them the ability to be good husbands and good fathers. Give them the strength, the courage, the boldness, the love, whatever they need, give them that, Lord. Lord, for these young men, may they look to some of these men that are examples. May they look to some of these men that are good fathers and good husbands. May they seek themselves to be good fathers and good husbands. We pray you'd bless the Word of God, that this message would bear fruit, not just today. We not just go out the doors and forget it. In weeks and months and years, and Lord, even till you come again, we'd be reminded of what it takes to make a good father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you and good day.